So first of all, just to clarify, well, one thing I said yesterday for purpose of people who asked afterwards, a mechitza which is shaky, which is not stable in its own right and will move in the wind, it's not, the problem does not arise specifically when the wind actually blows the mechitza. Something which will move in such circumstances, under normal circumstances, is considered to be structurally deficient, and therefore, even when there's no wind whatsoever and the wall is not moving, it makes no difference. It's not kosher for sukkah. The point is that even before the wind comes along, if in actuality it will be a problem, it will be a problem regardless. Now, moving on. Suppose one had a sukkah, this happened to me personally, and I've seen it other places as well, where you have either the schach, or sometimes the sukkah itself would get damaged and knocked down or knocked over the course of sukkahs. Now, during Chol HaMoed, no big deal. You put your sukkah back up, you put your schach back up. It's really not a big deal. What happens if this occurs on Yom Tov? So generally you have two issues. Now, it gets detailed, depends on what fell down exactly and how much is standing, but the general concept is, first of all, any part of a structure, no different than your house, would be muktzah, because part of the building is not meant for usage over Yom Tov. If you're not actually using it for any practical purpose, it's a standing structure, and therefore the schach itself will be muktzah. So you can't go ahead and take the schach and move it away in a normal method. It would require some other method as you would deal with muktzah, but it will be subject to the rules of muktzah, one thing to keep in mind. And there'd be another issue as well, to raise a schach and place it back onto your sukkah, or to raise a wall if a panel fell in, and you're trying to fix it, assuming it actually felt completely out of place, you'd be running into problems being Maisav al Abinyan or Maisav al Oil, and you're actually building on Shabbos or Yom Tov, which would be a problem. This may be Deraisa, maybe Derabanan, but regardless, it is a problem. Now, one thing that comes out quite interesting is there's one solution which is usually not so practical, but nonetheless, just for the interesting halacha aspect. We said yesterday, anything could qualify as a wall. Literally anything could qualify as a wall, as long as it's not stolen. A stolen wall would not count. But generally, anything would count for a wall as long as it's stable. To this degree, if you would put an animal, if you put anything, a bal chai, would count as a wall. So much so that a person, in theory, if you were to get a person to stand there, he could count as a wall. Now, the only condition would be you'd have to make sure he's standing there. An animal practically wouldn't work in most circumstances because the animal would just walk off. You couldn't count on staying there. Now, a person, you could really just tell him to stay there, and he would, in fact, in halacha, be kosher. If someone had a sukkah with two walls, and the third wall could be just a small panel, and that small panel fell, if that was the case, a practical eitzah would be, if you tell your friend, just stand right there for a moment, your sukkah will, in fact, be entirely halachically kosher. Now, there's a problem. If your friend gets up there, and he knows what he's doing, and he's aware of what you're doing, so he is serving as a mechitza. He, in halacha, counts as a wall. If you do that, and he does it willingly, what's going to happen is he will be chayiv for bayna on Yom Tov, because any time you create a structure on Yom Tov, knowingly, you'll actually be chayiv for bayna. Same way, if you put up any mechitza which serves a halachic function, even if it's not a full structure, if you create a change in zones according to halacha, that's called halachic bayna. And therefore, if he knows what he's doing and you tell him stop right there so you can be my wall for a moment while I finish eating, he will be chayiv mishum bayna. However, since a sukkah is not a full-fledged structure, it's a temporary structure, we allow that if he is unaware of what he's doing, there's no problem whatsoever, which will come out. If you tell your friend, stand right there, but don't explain to him why. You just get him to stand there somehow. That would be enough, and that would be kosher lahalacha. I'll just leave off with one interesting point, which I don't know which way to go lahalacha. Suppose you actually did this, and you had your friend, and now he's standing, and he's a kosher wall for your sukkah. Is your friend himself allowed to eat? He's counting, again, we're viewing him for halachic purposes as a partition of the sukkah. He's neither in the sukkah nor out of the sukkah. He's actually, again, in halachic terms, he's a wall of your sukkah. Is he himself allowed to eat? Tzvi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi asks this question, and he leaves off the Tzarechi, and he does not know the halacha if one is allowed to eat. He says it may depend which way the person is facing, but ideally, I would imagine, if I say my own story, I would imagine he probably is not allowed to eat simply because he's not in the sukkah. When we create a sukkah, we're creating an environment. There's an environment, and that environment is boxed in by the walls and covered by schach. In that environment, we have a sukkah, and in that environment, we could eat. The wall itself is not part of your environment. It's creating your environment, but it's not in your environment. So I would assume you probably cannot eat, but again, it's left off the Tzarechin, just for halakhic stuff.